Hey, Mr. One Stop, I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle,
the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. I'm your record dealer, Ben Schulman.
And I'm Patrick Foisy, the addict.
And nice to see you after we were both sick recently. We both caught it. We both had COVID within a couple of weeks of each other.
We had the bug.
Yeah. And you know what? Thanks for that vaccine, because I felt like shit for 2 days and then I was fine. And now I think same thing with you too.
It was 3 days for me. Get a fever.
Me neither. No fever. I was just really tired.
Same thing.
Exhausted. Exactly. Like there was one day I literally slept all day. I just, that was it. Tired. Barely, not even like a throat thing. Like really just exhausted.
And achy.
Yeah. Exhausted and achy. That was it. And I lost my taste and smell for 48 hours.
Weird.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, because I've never lost my taste ever before. That is the worst thing. I like eating. Look, half of the show, I end up talking about food.
We're big eaters.
We're big guys that like to eat. That's the thing.
Well, you know what? I have to say this.
Yeah.
I, you know, we've talked briefly before going on air.
Yeah.
And you haven't lost your taste in music.
No, definitely not. That hasn't gone anywhere.
You know, no virus.
My ears were a little achy, but I remedied that with a lot of record listening. Because
I'm going to put your ears to the test later on in the show, because I have something special for you.
You have a something special? A surprise? Really?
Well. First things first. First surprise.
Okay.
So we're a record show, but you know, I'm gonna expand your mind a bit and talk about music in general.
Did you slip some acid into this invisible glass of water?
You know, I'm a collector at heart, so I like collecting stuff. On this show, and it's in one of our, you know. Cover photos of one of the episodes.
Yeah.
You remember I showed you a mini turntable, a mini Technics
1200
turntable.
Sure.
Now I found something else from a totally different company. And for another reason, they're not necessarily known for this, what I'm going to show you. But as soon as I saw it, I went, have to have it. I have to have it.
All right.
So I'm going to reveal it to you.
I feel like you got us these like microphone cover things specifically so you could just hide shit behind yours.
Good point.
Yeah.
So here you go. And so we're specialized in the 60s stuff.
Pretty much, yeah. We sometimes play some 50s records, sometimes 70s, sometimes some modern ones. That sound old.
I have a 50s record for the show.
So oh, cool.
We're going back in time. But always. Now we're going to jump in both feet in the 80s with right this. Check this out.
Oh, cool. A little boombox.
So it's a tiny, tiny boombox. The size, you know, compare it to your hand.
Yeah.
It's about the size, smaller than your hand.
Yeah.
So it's like your typical hip hop boombox.
These things are so cool. They are so cool looking, man. Like an old boombox.
Now, this company is known for recreating like.
This is an actual little radio. Like, does it works, eh?
So
it's a little transistor radio.
No, it's a Bluetooth.
Speaker. That's really cool.
Now I'm gonna show you.
That's awesome.
So no, hold it.
Okay.
Hold it. And you're gonna hear a song, you know, coming out of those speakers. So
it's
let me
be
just
like Karma Chameleon or something.
Nope. I chose something funky. A record you sold me on this show.
That's right, Mr. Fortune by the Hitchhikers featuring Mighty Pope on the Heart record label out of Toronto from 1970. This is also the, what's it, the theme music for again? Freakonomics?
Yeah, another podcast. How does it sound? Because obviously it's you know, it's beside the microphone, but
it's appropriate sounding. Like, that song sounds good coming out of a boombox because it's kind of, you know, hip-hoppy to begin with. You know, it's a funky-ass record. That's so cool. I love this thing.
Now,
that's very you. You know, and things my dad would love this, too. My dad loves little transistor radios and little miniature versions of things. But you know what's funny is that I remember once at the Allentown record show, some guy had a boombox set up, and that actually had a little turntable in the front of it.
I've seen one live before.
Yeah, that's why I saw it at Allentown. I used it to listen to records. Yeah,
I've never pulled the trigger. There was one for sale here in Montreal, and I never pulled the trigger, and I always regret it.
They're probably very collectible and probably expensive.
They are.
It's now, really cool. I'm shocked you don't have one.
So this is an American company called New Wave Toys. What they're known for is they recreate little mini arcade games.
Oh, cool! Like pinball machines and stuff. Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Sure. Well, they haven't done Pac-Man yet. Yeah. But I'm
probably
waiting.
Hard to license or something. Yeah.
I'm waiting on one. It's probably going to arrive in tomorrow. I'm following the tracking.
This is Sunday, by the way.
And
beautiful Sunday.
And I just ordered the Qbert one.
Oh, cool.
And so they're known for their attention to detail.
I was just going to say, you read my mind. The attention to detail on this is like, good thing I have glasses.
So
you can actually read balance, bass, treble. Like,
now I'm going to show you. Now the handle,
yeah,
you know, it's functional.
Very cool.
Now I'm going to show you the antennas. Check this out. Little antennas, and they're actually telescopic. So check this out.
Oh, that's so cool. They stretch out like that. Wow. So, what a fun little toy.
And so none of the buttons work except for the volume.
Tiny
little knob.
Wow.
So for our addicts out there, you're gonna see it because I'm gonna use it and pose it with a 45, so you get the scale of it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so like 4 inches or something. Yeah.
Isn't that perfect for like a Bluetooth?
That's
little speaker.
Genius.
Now, in the same week, so I received this at the beginning of the week. And yesterday, I went to get this.
An actual boombox. Wow.
Now,
looks mint.
Maybe I should take a picture of, it's a Sanyo. I should look at the model. But it's an 80s boombox that I found.
Here, pose. I'm taking a picture right now. I will
wait. I should
hold both of them. You are witnessing history. Hold on, it's covering your face. Move it down a little bit.
All right. So
I'm gonna put that on the gram.
So the little boombox is about the size
of the cassette. Yeah.
So how cool is that?
So obviously it's in such good shape. It's like
and it's working.
I was gonna say like it almost looks like it's a reissue or something. It's just so
not,
clean.
It's a me.
Yeah, no, of course. What is that? Late 80s, probably.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it looks.
It's a Sanyo.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take pictures. It's gonna be on our.
Yeah, it'll be on the Instagram. It'll be on the page. I'll throw it on my. I'll put it up on my Instagram too.
So wow. That's how. That's how we start.
I wish I had a hip hop, like a Run DMC or an old LL Cool J on the Def Jam to play.
So the first song I listened to on the mini one, and there's two models. There's this model, and I didn't pull the trigger fast enough. Those things are so hot, they sell out like in
really days. The speed now, yeah.
So the other one is the size of, I don't know, your iPad.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. A little bit bigger.
And so the sound is a bit bigger, and you can actually press the eject button, and there's a mini cassette that pops out.
Yeah, you got to get that.
And a bit more expensive, obviously. I'm sure, but I'm glad with the little one.
That's really cool. I'm gonna go show my dad a picture after, because my father, my whole life growing up, always collected little transistor radios. He always liked things that were small.
Yep.
You know, like he had like a little mini TV, and like because he has a transistor radio, this Sony one, that's like a quarter of the size of that boom box. Like, it's tiny. So I think he'll get a kick out of that. I think he'd like to see that. But yeah, wow. That's really cool. I like that. Boom boxes. I remember cassettes. I was born in the 90s. I used to listen to my cartoons cassette, you know.
What I was going to say is the first song I listened on mini boom box on the Bluetooth thing was Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
That's very 80s.
I thought it was totally appropriate.
I have the 45.
You do?
Yeah. Cool. They're worth a bit of money, those 45s. It's for sale in my Discogs store, the company sleeve. We have a lot of 45s. Anyhow, so...
Now, we don't want to hype this episode too much. But we should.
We'll probably hype it a little bit.
Because you have a surprise of your own.
I have... how am I going to tell this story? You know what? I'll just start from the beginning. So last year, and I think it was like one of those, because it's like the last couple of years have been a bit of a blur with when were we in lockdown, when weren't we, sick, not sick, people, masks, etc. At some point, obviously, the borders have been closed, so there hasn't been a lot of cross-border travel for either of us, except I was in the States twice in the past 2 weeks, but hey, we're allowed again now. So a good friend of mine, my buddy Sam, who I met when I was like a little kid, you know, collecting records as a teenager, met him here in Montreal. He was living here, but he's from upstate New York. Always finds super cool records, and like he refurbishes like drum kits, and he's like really good like working on old amplifiers, and he's done like sound work and lighting work for shows, and just a super all around interesting guy. And we've kind of
older gentleman or
no Sam, he's 49, so maybe so like
even younger.
Yeah, very close in age to you. Super interesting guy, and he lives in a small town in upstate New York, and we've kind of always bonded over our shared interest in this. There was this record label in Plattsburgh back in the 60s. Now, Plattsburgh is
almost a suburb of Montreal.
That's how I've always seen, you know, it's like when I was growing up, and I'm sure you know, you'll remember like listening to like Mix 96 or Q92, it was always Burlington, Plattsburgh, Montreal. So it's like Burlington.
Our cottage and my grandparents' house
is like right by the border.
It's
there.
It's on the border.
In Venise-en-Quebec.
Venise-en-Quebec.
Also known as Venice in Quebec.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful area right on the...
It's due south, 2-3 miles from the border.
Yeah, exactly. And so basically that area, it's on like the northern shore of Lake Champlain. And then Lake Champlain... you know, goes south, and it's kind of the border.
Yeah, it crosses
the border, and then it itself is the border between New York State and Vermont. So it's like, that's the thing. It's like, if we got in the car right now from your place here, we would be at the border in
45 minutes.
Yeah. So it's like, that's what's interesting with Montreal. It's like, you know, we do have... We're so close to the States. We're so close to Ontario. So, you know, it's like, I mean, like my house, I live 10 minutes from the border to Ontario. So Plattsburgh.
So just be on the lookout if you go on Lake Champlain. Champ.
Yeah, is Champ. There. That's right. Yes. There is a mythical sea monster called Champ.
Is how much we're and it's Champy. Like we're almost cousins with Plattsburgh people.
Well, 100%. And
Bernie. Don't forget Bernie.
And yes,
He was mayor of
Burlington.
Burlington.
Burlington, Vermont, right on the other side. Yeah, Burlington and Plattsburgh, right across from each other on each side of Lake Champlain.
Plattsburgh is a bit bigger.
Burlington is bigger.
Burlington
is the biggest city in Vermont, and like the population is like 70,000. Maybe. I might even be over exaggerating. And the capital of Vermont, which is, they call it Montpelier. Yep. Montpellier.
Montpellier.
Well, I mean, even the state name, Vermont, it means Green Mountain, hence the Green Mountain State.
Right.
And really, but that's a funny thing, too, in Plattsburgh, is like you do see a lot of French last names, you know, and it's like I was there yesterday with my brother and my sister-in-law, and I was saying, it's like, you know, you have descendants of people who were French-Canadian who just happened that their farm was on that side of the border, and absolutely. It's like they're, so you know what, so Burlington and Plattsburgh especially, it's like they're, like you said, it's like they're almost like suburbs of Montreal. They, like, Plattsburgh has much more of a relationship to Montreal than it does to somewhere like New York City. You know, we're in the same bubble, you know?
Yeah. And if I was at the cottage,
yeah,
back when we didn't have cable, we actually
you could get antennas, the American channels, yeah.
ABC, NBC, and CBS were the Vermont.
Yeah,
or the that's New right. York State,
yeah, or like the local Fox affiliate or whatever.
Exactly.
So yeah, so Plattsburgh, I've always, and interestingly enough too, my grandfather during the Second World War was stationed in Plattsburgh at the military base. Hmm. So it's kind of, you know, there's like a, and like I have his old kind of like journal and like diary from that period, like, you know, when he was, you know, 18 years old in the early 1940s, you know, he never went overseas or anything, but he, you know, he did his part, you know, and he was in Plattsburgh. So it's like, there's always that connection. And
also, just to put emphasis on the fact that they're almost like a Montreal suburb.
For sure, yeah.
I've flown out of Pittsburgh.
Plattsburgh. Pittsburgh's in Pennsylvania. That's 10 hours away
Plattsburgh.
From here. Plattsburgh.
out of the Plattsburgh airport.
Yes, that's right.
Because it's sometimes cheaper. Dirt cheap. And they have like local flights. When I went to visit my parents in
Florida.
Fort Myers, Florida, yeah. I flew out of Plattsburgh.
That's a very common thing. People will drive down from Montreal to either Burlington or Plattsburgh to get, yeah, just ridiculously cheap flights. And it's nice too if you're flying within the States. You know, it's like you've already crossed the border, so it's right. Like it's like flying domestically. Anyhow, that's a lot of stuff about Plattsburgh. Hey, now we could talk about the War of 1812 if you want, but I think we'll
skip on. That one.
So anyhow, backtracking to my buddy Sam. So we've always had this shared interest in the fact that there was this record label based out of Plattsburgh in the 60s. And again, the Montreal connection being is that there were actually at least one Québécois band went down to Plattsburgh and made a record for this company, Rondac Records. So at the time, they were called the Corvettes.
So Rondac?
Rondac. R-O-N-D-A-C-K, short for Adirondack, which is the mountain chain, you know, the Adirondacks. That's where the Olympics were back in 70, you know, at Lake Placid there.
It's in the 80s, I think.
Was it in the 80s? Yep. Yeah. Funny, you know, Taryn and I were actually just in Lake Placid 2 weeks ago, and like, they still have like the, you know, all the Olympic stuff. Yeah.
That's where the famous chair comes from.
That is where the famous chair comes from, and it is also where Dannemora Prison is, where those two guys escaped a couple of years ago. Remember that? And they were on the run for like 30 days. Oh my God. Anyway. Great miniseries about that, starring Patricia Arquette. Wonderful. Watched it with my mom. Mom, I know you're listening. How you doing? Anyhow, so
Plattsburgh, we love you.
So we love Plattsburgh. We love Burlington. We love our U.S. cousins across the arbitrary line at the 45th parallel. So me and my buddy Sam have always kind of bonded over this label, and there was this band, the Corvettes, who later became Les Aristocrates.
Oh, yeah,
Big Quebec band, had a ton of hits here in Quebec.
A little pop band.
Yeah, definitely pop band. Their best one, garagey one, is Je ne vois qu'elle, which is a French version of You Better Run by the Young Rascals. It's like a really good garagey record. If anyone needs one, I have like 15 at home, so send me a message. So there's like a Montreal connection, there's a Quebec connection, and you know, and my friend Sam had mentioned once years ago that he had bought a drum kit from someone who knew someone who knew the guy who ran the label. And anyhow, last year he sends me a picture of this record on the Rondac label, and he goes, "Oh, I just found this, and you won't believe it when you hear it. And it's one I've never seen before." And I'm just like, "Oh, look it up. Doesn't exist on Discogs."
How many records on that label you
that
knew
I know,
about?
That I know of?
Yeah.
Maybe 8 or 9. So and it's all white kid garage band stuff, because what would you expect from Plattsburgh? So the group that had the most success, you know, and success by
in quotation marks,
in quotations, was a band called the Thunderbolts, who were from Burlington.
They do the instrumental, like a surfy instrumental?
Yes, called Thunderhead. So they had a couple of records on Raw Deck.
That came out on a few labels, I believe.
That's a different band. That's the T-Birds. Okay. And it gets very confusing. White kids with guitars in 1963. There was quite a few of them. So the Thunderbolts were from Burlington. They recorded for Raw Deck in Plattsburgh. They actually recorded a 45 in Montreal that came out on the Allied label. What's it called? Like Without a Song or something. It's poppy. It's not really like a garage band record or anything. And they have another record called Heart So Cold, which came out in the States. It's not even on a label. It's like a kind of private pressing thing, but it was recorded at RCA Studios, 10 blocks down the street from here in Montreal. So there's a lot of the connection between Plattsburgh, Burlington, Montreal, as we've been talking about. So Sam finds this record and he's just like, and I go, what's this?
So that's recently.
So he found it last year. So a month ago, before Taryn and I both caught COVID, we took a little day trip down to the States, went to IHOP, of course, and then took the ferry over to the New York side and went to visit my buddy Sam. And he played me this record. And I wish Taryn would have been filming me, because my reaction, I like fell to the floor. It is, and I say I love a lot of records.
Let's just say you had to throw your underwear away.
I shat my pants. Yeah, I shat my pants. I pissed my pants. I threw up a little bit.
We're not overhyping this record.
Not overhyping it at all. Even before I had even heard it, I had offered. I said, "I'm like Sam. I'm like, how much do you want? You know, like I
name just, your price."
Yeah, he said, "I'll never sell it." And I said, "I understand, because we both, you know, love this Rondak thing." So, out of nowhere, out of nowhere. So the thing. So the record in question. And this is an Addicted to the Needle exclusive, if you ever want to know about this record.
I don't even know what it is.
So the singer was a black guy called Duke Edwards. Now, Duke Edwards was originally like born in New Orleans, and then kind of he was a drummer. And he ended up in New Jersey, you know, just working with all kinds. He was a jazz musician. And the craziest thing is that he at one point played in Sun Ra's band. Sun Ra was kind of this wild, I'm not an authority on him, but I mean, there are people who their whole life is based around collecting Sun Ra records. He was based out of Chicago, just completely wild, like avant-garde jazz before that was even a thing.
Isn't gospel
stuff, just the crazy, crazy shit. So Duke Edwards had this association with him, and then for all of a sudden, you know, wait, what was he doing in Plattsburgh, an hour south of Montreal? Well, in 1967, Duke Edwards was hired to be the musical director at Expo 67.
Oh, now that's a connection.
So now you have this crazy connection.
This Motown, that Diana Ross came.
Yeah, everybody. And all, of course, all of our local heroes like The Haunted and all the garage bands played there. But yes, and one of
Ain't
those,
no
one
mountain
of those,
high
well,
enough.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the infamous colored clip of Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell singing Ain't No Mountain High Enough together. And you see like the...
The first time I ever saw it.
That is one of the best videos ever. To think that like Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell were like just... we're so almost close. You can almost see the island from here.
At Expo 67.
Yes. So this Duke Edwards... So it's like... It's nowhere. No one's ever heard of it. It's not on YouTube. It's not on Discogs. You can't Google it. So
this is a mystery record.
This is the most mysterious record, and the fact that it is a rhythm and blues soul record that has something to do with Montreal and Platts, it's just like everything about it. So I looked at my friend Sam.
So 67?
So here's the interesting thing. This record is from 64.
Oh, okay.
So Duke Edwards had... even at that time, was coming up and performing in the clubs in Montreal. Because Montreal...
The Esquire Show Bar,
the 237 Club, Rufus Rockheads, Rockheads Paradise. It's like Montreal... was a soul town.
It was sort of a soul mecca.
Well, the thing is with Montreal is that it's like it was an entertainment city. You know, people have always referred to Montreal as like, you know, it's just the New York City of Canada, the Vegas of Canada, the Paris of Canada. Montreal is just fucking cool and always has been.
It was also very friendly to the African-American
artists. Well, that's just it. It's like, you know, with like someone like Jackie Shane, is that, you know, Jackie Shane was performing up here doing weekly stints as far back as 1960, you know, and then, of course, we've talked about on the show before, Billy Martin and Billy Horn, you know, guys.
Jimi Hendrix was a regular.
There's a photo of Hendrix playing with the Isley Brothers, backing the Isley Brothers at the 237 Club in 1964. So it's like a lot of rhythm and blues acts came up here, and
Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh yeah, going that far back too. You know, in the 40s and 50s, you had the Ink Spots. You know, coming up here, and you know, Montreal was always cool and open arms, and there was just a scene for rhythm and blues music. So Duke Edwards obviously had become familiar with Montreal as far back as like 63, 64. So anyway, my friend Sam plays me this record, and I look at him and I go, give me a month and I'll have a copy.
Of course.
And what do I have with me today? I have this Duke Edwards 45. And like I said, for the time being, this is going to be an Addicted to the Needle exclusive, because I'm not putting it up on YouTube yet. I'm not doing anything with it yet. And I kind of said to Pat before the show, I am working on kind of a bigger thing. I'm at least trying to. I'm not going to hype it up too much. But with doing some work with Ron Dak Records, I'm not going to say anything. But I just...
You want to put it out there.
I just don't want to say anything until they're in motion, and I don't want to jinx anything. But anyway, I won't say how I did it, but you know me. The thing is, I've always said this about myself. When I want something, I get it.
You have an ace up your sleeve.
I have an ace up my sleeve, and I have determination. So... I've
heard of this mystery record, and I'm learning
so
with the Addicts.
So here it is on the beautiful Ron Dak record label. Now, the A side is a bit more of a ballad, which we will play at the end of the show. I want to end off with the beautiful A side, called "Let Him Dry His Own Tears." So that was what was supposed to be the marketed A side of this record. The B side is just called "I Got a Feeling." Written and performed by Duke Edwards. And now the interesting thing, the guy who ran this label, Ron Dak Records, his name was Ben Everest. What a cool freaking name, right?
There's a label.
Everest, yeah. So Ben Everest from Plattsburgh, New York, who...
So no connection with the label.
No connection with Everest Records, but Ben Everest from Plattsburgh, New York, who, unfortunately, he passed away in 1998 at 58 years old. Unfortunately, he got sick in the late 90s. So he started this recording studio in his house. So this record you are about to hear was recorded in a duplex in Plattsburgh in 1964. Now, are you ready?
It looks like it's a colored vinyl.
Wow.
Red.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not necessarily big on colored vinyl, but...
It only exists on colored vinyl.
Yeah.
So, again, colored vinyl is a bit of an interesting thing because...
It looks brand new.
Well, it's in the brown paper sleeve. It came out of the box that it's been sitting in since it came out of the pressing plant 58 years ago. This record has only been played once by me so far.
So this is the second time.
This is the second time since it was made in 1964 that it's about to be played. It's the first time it's going to be played to my knowledge,
in public
anywhere. I mean, maybe it was spun on the radio at the time. You know, Ben Everest definitely, again, I'm not going to put too much information out there now, but he definitely did try to promote this record at one point. But to my knowledge so far, this record was never even available in stores. It just, and the way that my buddy Sam had found is, it's just, he found it in Plattsburgh. It was probably a copy given to somebody at one point. Anyhow, so this side, I got a feeling by this guy, Duke Edwards. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. It is the best record I've ever found in my life. I am obsessed with this record. And I cannot wait for, because like Pat, you don't understand. It's just like, oh my God. Okay. I think I've built it up enough.
Well, you know what? Before you drop the needle.
Yeah.
I think you should get your sellout cell phone out.
Oh yeah. Should I?
Maybe you should get my reaction. Cause you know, we have the same taste. So if you say it's that good, I'm probably going to have a Pat face.
I am already filming. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Pat. This is the 45 on beautiful red wax. And this is the first time, probably the first time this record is actually being played in the city of Montreal. Because I don't live in Montreal. I live outside of Montreal. I Got a Feeling by Duke Edwards from 1964. Are you ready?
Let's play it.
Many moons have gone by, many tears have I shed, ever since the word was said, with this ring I do wear. Many nights I lay awake, couldn't get myself no sleep, wondering where my baby has gone, if she's a thinking about me. Broke my heart in little pieces, home to cry, na na na, hey. Oh, wow! I got a feeling. I got a feeling. Whoa, mama, 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 na na, hey, hey. Hey! Won't have to cry no more.
I am not worthy.
It's the best thing I've ever
monkey,
heard.
Monkey, monkey, monkey,
monkey, monkey, monkey, monkey.
Okay, now, Okay.
Yeah, okay. Like,
let me catch my breath.
I know you were a bit.
You saw me. I cried.
I know you were a bit emotional before the show because I know you've been going through you've been going through some shit outside the podcast.
Yeah.
So I think
my feelings are surfaced.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sort of a vulnerable right now. Stuff at work.
We
won't get into that, but. Okay.
Isn't that just something special?
So obviously it's raw. It's raw R&B.
It's my favorite sound in the world.
Of course. Of course. That's why we like The Grunt. This is why New Way of Lovin' by Jackie Chan. It's in that vein. Now, I couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but... There's no horns.
Nope.
And that makes it less is more in this case.
And what's interesting is that I thought the same thing. That's because the thing is, what's weird is there's horns on the other side.
Okay.
Which is interesting. But the thing with this song, so again, like the fact that it's just this enormous, incredible, greasy R&B record, and that it's from Plattsburgh, and that this guy routinely at the time this record was made, him and his the Duke Edwards combo were performing in Montreal. And the reason that I have this knowledge is because I have the only copy in the entire world of the picture sleeve that was supposed to come with this record. And on the back of the picture sleeve, there's like a little bio of Duke Edwards. And it talks about, on the picture sleeve, how he's been performing in nightclubs in Montreal. So this song we just heard was probably performed at small nightclubs blocks away from where we're sitting. So it's just so fucking unbelievable.
Mind-blowing.
That this thing has existed for 58 years. And has something to do with our city and black history and R&B. It is just the best record I have ever found.
Okay, so addicts out there, if you didn't appreciate this, if you think we actually overhyped this record, unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe right now.
All right.
Yeah, it is just the most special. It's just, you know what, because that's the amazing thing about digging for records and, you know, trying to put the pieces together. And obviously we talk about it ad nauseum on the show, our love of anything Montreal and anything, you know, especially Canadian. And what I kept joking about with this record is that technically, even though it is an American record, the joke I keep making to people is, you know, I collect Canadian records, but it's like all these records I have from Calgary, I've been to Calgary once for 2 hours. I've been to Plattsburgh 100 times. I've spent more time since I'm a little kid. We used to go on the weekends, you know, just to go do groceries. That was like a thing, you know, especially like growing up in the West Island. Like, oh my God, it's like if you grew up as like a Jewish kid in the West Island, every weekend someone's parents were going to Plattsburgh to go to Hannaford and Price Chopper. You
know? My first lifeguarding job was at the motel in Venise on Quebec,
yeah,
right across the street from Missisquoi, which is the bay
part of
Lac Champlain. So
exactly.
I dropped my little toe in the water that
Plattsburgh
is on the shore of Plattsburgh.
It's like 20 miles from there. So it's just like, it's just one of those things where it's just like, you think you've heard it all, but it goes to show you it's like 58 years. Like, this record was sitting in a box in that town, and you just heard it for the first time ever, because, I mean, this is the first time you ever heard it. I brought this record home yesterday, and I sat in my basement in front of my turntable and played it over and over, and I woke up this morning, and the first thing I did was went downstairs and just play. I'm obsessed with it.
There's only one sad part of this whole thing.
What's like that?
It's only downhill from here. How can I even come close to this? Everything else is going to sound like shit now.
That's not true, because I've got some goodies for you as always. But you know what? It's not that often I feature you know, one of my discoveries. But I just, this was something that just, oh man, it's just the level of excitement, you know, just to discover something like this that has to do with our hometown and has to do with soul music, the canon of soul music history, is just, it's like these are things that dreams are made of. It's like you don't even think something like this would be real, but like it's out there, and then it leads you to believe, are there other records that,
of course.
It's just like, that's the fun. That's why this is never not fun. Well, anyhow,
I can just picture in 1965, 66, this record being played at the 100 Club in London.
Yep.
Mods would have gone bananas.
It's just the rawest,
it's grittiest. Mod,
oh yeah.
There's screaming. The only thing missing is a drum break.
Yeah.
But drums at the beginning.
Yeah. The drummer's on fire.
Funk before.
Well,
the word funk was ever
so
said.
It's so funny that you say that, because what I kept thinking, because James Brown had a big song in '67 called "I Got the Feeling." Now, James Brown.
There's, I think we featured another record on this podcast.
Yeah.
Called "I Got a Feeling."
Also. Oh, I mean, of course. Well, but interestingly enough, so it's James Brown. Because I kind of figured, because I initially thought this record would have been from 66, 67, just because of the Expo, because of Expo 67, and Duke Edwards is. So him and this jazz group, they ended up doing an album on Prestige in 1968, Duke Edwards and the Young Ones, and it's this like Afro jazz. So it's like this guy, it's not like he was just this kind of one-off, you know, it's like he was a true jazz musician. And that's something later when I featured the other side, the balladist, that it's not, it's, oh my God, I'm at like a loss for words. I'm so fucking excited. It's like you could tell that this guy had a level of musicianship that kind of surpassed a lot of his contemporaries.
Right.
And especially on the ballad side, just the arrangement of it, and just how well recorded this is. You have to bear in mind, this was recorded in someone's home studio, just in a house in Plattsburgh off Interstate 87. It's just unbelievable. It's just, I can't say enough about how amazing this find is, you know.
His voice.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
His voice.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Monkey, monkey, monkey. And the fact that he starts monkeying at the end, yeah. Yeah. Why, something special, eh?
This is gold.
It's gold. It's gold. It's red. And it's on red vinyl. That's another interesting, a really interesting thing with Rondak, is that Ben Everest, way ahead of his time, because I mean, there are the odd colored vinyl record that does exist from the 60s, but he was notorious for, it's funny, we've talked about, like, you know, with like the Sir John A label and like Jet Records, like the Ottawa, Jet Records from Montreal and Sir John A from
Ottawa,
how they kind of did different colored labels. This guy did different colored vinyl, because I have, the Corvettes 45 is on red vinyl. There's the Torquays, which is on yellow. It's just interesting that he experimented with it, with doing these kind of vanity pressings. It's very,
hand me the record. I want to see what the Matrix is.
It's there's a Matrix number right in there.
So what number is it?
What do you mean?
Well, is it an early number?
Like
001?
No, it's 6776. That's the catalog number of the record. There's like I said, there are other records on the label, and it's just like the thing is, if no one knew about this one, maybe there's more that we don't know about. Anyway, so
the tagline is the all around sound.
Yeah, Rondak Records, the all around sound. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that just one of the most special pieces of plastic you've ever held in your hand? It's really just out. It's just out of this fucking
and
world.
And feeling apostrophe.
Yeah. I got a feeling. And it's funny, we're talking about "I Got a Feeling." There's a Motown song, "I Got a Feeling," by Barbara Randolph on the Soul label from 67. Are you noticing an imperfection?
I don't know if it's a little chip here.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's just like a tiny, it's not anything.
No.
Yeah.
It's pristine.
It is pristine.
Oh man, yeah, I got emotional for a second there.
Oh well, you know what? It's you know what you've had some going ons with the work and stuff, and I know you've been stressed out, and I know how much you've been looking forward to doing the show today.
It's Ben, you are my saving grace.
Yeah, it's always the soul music that makes you feel good. If it makes you feel good, I think in the grunt, Eddie Kirk says it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. It's just like, yeah, it does, man. Are you kidding? It's just like, there's nothing in the world. I could be in the worst mood ever. You put me in my basement listening to 45s dancing around, and it's amazing how this, these records, they're an obsession and they cost a lot of money, but they are, it literally is music for the soul, because this shit can elevate your mood. It's the best medicine, man. Like, if you feel like crap, put on a Northern Soul playlist and put on some Motown, put on I Ain't Too Proud to Beg by the Temptations, you're going to feel better. It's medicine music.
You know, there's debates on and on about the price of records, and you know, you have to be privileged to buy yourself those types of records. I get that.
Oh, for sure. It's not for everybody.
I'm proud. I'm telling you, Ben, I'm proud that this podcast put this record out in the world.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens next. I'm proud of this. Yeah. So whatever price we had to pay, you know, I didn't went in the pockets of the artist. We know. But
hey, I mean, I think it probably worked out okay for Duke Edwards. He did get a job working at Expo 67, and
that's kind of cool. But that was across the board. Every artist got screwed back in those days.
Well, of course, yeah.
But I think this is our mission.
Hey, it's what I've always said.
Records like this,
yeah,
and putting it out,
having it out into there, the world. You know, just because again, it's like just to think that this piece of music would have potentially been lost for how, you know, for maybe forever.
Yeah,
it's very possible. So I'll give myself a nice pat on the back.
Pat will give you a pat in the
pat,
back.
Pat.
Where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here?
Do you want me to feed
Yeah,
you
well, right? like, well, let's feed. I mean, look, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
You know, okay, listen.
Yeah, I really topped off. Hey, come on, are you kidding? It's the best record. There's a lot of other great records out there, and I've got some good ones to play for you too today. So what do you got going on?
Well, you know what? I'm going to play you a mystery record myself.
Yes! Love it.
Not anywhere.
Imagine you were like, turns out, I also have this Duke Edwards record. Yeah, that would be...
It's a step down, but... You know,
all records are created equally, except freaking Mantovani records. Those weren't created equally.
So this is an unknown record too, because just before the show I went to check, it's not on Discogs, so I'll be inputting it for the first time. As soon as I saw the title, you know, I thought of some of our favorite listeners out there, Gabe Abisa, yep. Al Atchison, because, you know,
it must be about hot dogs if we're talking about Al.
Well, not you're close.
Uh-oh.
They know how I love my food record.
That's right.
So this is a mystery record. It's a food record on a label I've never seen before.
I can't wait to see the font so I can try and figure out where it's from.
So I didn't even write the description yet, so I have no idea.
Hey, maybe I can come up with the description for this one.
Right. So aside from the fact that it's unknown, there's another mystery I want to try to find out.
This is a very interesting episode we're having today.
Oh, we are. Yeah. We are. So I'm going to hand it to you. You can, you know, it's by The Crowns.
And the doo-wop group? Or?
No, I don't think
there's
so.
Probably 100 groups called.
On a label I've never seen, kind of cool label called Freedom Records. Freedom!
Freedom, hey!
And guess what's on the label?
A fist?
No.
Like the
Freedom Records. Think.
I don't know, an American flag?
Of course.
Yeah.
And hands trying to grab the flag.
Oh, wait. Oh, that
so
sounds familiar.
By The Crowns, it's called So What? Pepper's Hot. All right.
So. How about that? Freedom Records, So What? Pepper's Hot, The Crowns from Alexandria, Louisiana.
Well, Pepper's Hot makes sense.
Huh. That's interesting. Bayou Pierre Publications. Plus français, le Bayou Pierre. Right. Vocal by Bobby Brondax. It interestingly looks like it might be from the potentially like 70, 71. Just,
it looks like that, but it's not.
Interesting. Now, beautiful condition, too. It's like another thing that it's like looks like the record I played before. It's just been sitting in a box for 50 fucking years. And part of my language. I'm very excited today.
So I try to make a connection between this record and one of my favorite records that we've featured on this
Which
podcast before. I'll tell you after.
Okay. All right.
I want you to pay very close attention to the vocalist, the singer.
Bob, and it says right on the label, Bobby Brondax.
I have a feeling that's a made up name.
Hey,
Bob. And you know, you have perfect pitch. We've said it before. I don't think I do, but I think
I hear notes.
I think I have a good ear.
Sure.
So we're gonna place this record, and then right after, immediately after, we're gonna switch records, and we're gonna play one of my favorite records, and I want you to
have we featured that one before the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want you to see. I think it's the same singer.
Okay.
That's the second layer of the mystery record.
Beyond curious. So are we ready
to play? If it's not,
this?
It's very close. Oh. So, all right. So the Crowns.
So what?
Pepper's Hot.
You antagonize, they whistle long and loud. I realize it's all for laughs, but you must understand. You think I won't cross your path, 'cause you're in such demand. So what? Pepper's hot, so is TNT. If you don't cool down a lot, you're gonna be too hot for me. I see you walking down the street, your nose up in a cloud. You think that you're so sugar sweet, it should not be allowed. I tried to tell you long ago, but you would never hear. Now sit right down, 'cause this time, girl, I'll say it loud and clear. So what? Pepper's hot, so is TNT. If you don't cool down a lot, you're gonna be too hot for me. Pepper's hot, so is TNT. If you don't cool down a lot, you're gonna be too hot for me.
All right, you were sort of scratching your head there.
Okay, when it started, it sounded like a ska record.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Because it's a little behind the weird, and they're obviously it's a white group.
Yeah.
And like I love to poke fun about like Howard Johnson, you know, like the band, but it's like this totally. I could just picture like these white guys dressed up like they're like trying to be like the Four Tops or something. Playing like it's good. It's like it's like, but it's so funny where it's like this super localized like small town Louisiana white band trying their best to sound like you know, James Brown or something. It's but the start, it really, I got that Island vibe.
So
really,
I don't want to talk about it too much because
I know what record you're holding.
Which one?
Honeychild.
No,
it's not the Sun Glows.
No,
I thought I saw the label.
It's Sun Glows. Okay. But it's One Fine Mice by Jim Jones and the Chutneys. Put it on right away.
And this record's from San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Texas and Louisiana do border each other. So
play it and listen to the singer.
We're keeping our mics on, or okay.
We'll be back.
See you real soon. K Y Why? 'Cause you're a groove. Mickey Mouse.
Do you think it's the same singer?
No, not at all.
Really?
Not at all. It's another white. It's just another Southern white guy.
He has sort of the same little lisp that the other one.
No, it's not the same guy. Interestingly enough, both songs they're in the exact. They're both in the key of C, so that musically they actually do sound very similar, and the tempo is not far off, musically speaking. And C's, and you know what? A lot of the time why these bands' songs are in the key of C is that it's the easiest key to play, because when you sit down at a piano, it's the middle of the piano is C. So a lot of times it's just their musicianship was just like, hey, C's an easy chord to play, so they always did stuff in C.
But I stand my ground.
Yeah.
The singers sound...
Yeah. It's just two white guys from neighboring states in the South doing songs in the same key.
But he has that same nostril singing with the same little lisp.
Let's let the addicts decide. It's 100%. It's a different guy. But okay. But definitely good ear, because it's very similar. You know, key wise, vocally. All that stuff, but I like that record. The So What Hot Pepper, what was it called? So What Peppers Hot Peppers.
So What Pepper's Hot.
Yeah, Pepper is hot. Well, I haven't even tried to sell you something, and we've been recording for how long now? 40 minutes
at least.
Alrighty, you ready?
Yep.
I got a big Northern Soul record here. Now,
I thought you were selling me this record because you needed cash, but
no, I'm selling it to you because I got a nicer one. So I'm going to sell you the copy that I found in a garage in Winnipeg a couple years ago on my way back from driving.
Hear that, Mod Marty?
Shh. Winnipeg. I meant Moose Jaw. God, we live in a funny country. So this record is on Capitol, very well-known record label.
Is it a classic?
It is a classic. It is one of those ones that is always in like the top 100 Northern Soul spins. It's been big on the Northern Soul scene forever. It is a very well-known song. It's not the most beautiful copy, but it does play well. It is I Walked Away by Bobby Paris. Ring a bell?
I thought you were going to say... Is it Bobby Parrish?
Bobby Paris. Well, Parrish is Dean Parrish, who, of course, Teller and Determination and his huge Northern Soul record. Do you have that one, I'm On My Way? I love that song. It's on Lori.
No.
I'm on my way.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, it's such a
classic.
It's such a good song.
I don't have it.
This is in the same caliber as I'm On My Way by Dean Parrish. So this is I Walked Away, Bobby Paris. Unfortunately, not the most beautiful copy, but does play pretty well. And it's nice, too, that it is a Canadian pressing. Capitol Records is from 1966. I love this song. This has always been a favorite of mine. I, ever since, shout out to our pal Jason Thornton, who I met when I was 12 years old, who turned me on to all the obscure Northern Soul stuff. I was lucky to have someone
mentor.
Oh, Jason 100% is absolutely, he's a big brother to me. DJ'd his wedding. I love the guy. He was kind of the one who was like, hey, there's soul music that's not on Motown, and I'm 12, and I'm like, really? I thought it was just the Temptations. No, there's a lot of other stuff out there, and especially Capitol Records, which, we always associate with, the Beatles and the Beach Boys and, Frank Sinatra. Capitol put out a ton of amazing soul 45s in the 60s. They really did dip their toe into a lot of different stuff. They had the subsidiary Tower Records doing the garage bands with like Chocolate Watch Band, Standells. Anyhow, I love this record. I think you're going to love it too. I Walked Away, Bobby Paris from 66.
Walking down this lonely avenue, the picture of your face keeps coming through. I know I won't forget what I did today. Sad surprise in your eyes, and all that you could ask was why, oh why. But when our love has ended, what's there to say? Oh, I walked away. There's nothing colder.
Quintessential,
oh, yeah.
Northern soul.
Oh yeah,
it ticks all the boxes.
And it's amazing for how freaking well it plays. I mean, like it visually, it's like in the record world.
But it's the label. I don't,
Yeah, but the label's a little. It's a little.
I'm not rough. A stickler on the.
But
on
you
the
know, label. But it's amazing. But that's what I always say. It was so interesting, specifically with Canadian pressings from the '60s. Man, is like they. they can look the way that record looks and it still sounds amazing. Like, talk about quality, man. These things were built to last, you know? And what's kind of nice too about seeing a copy like that, like with the number written on it, is like, this was someone's record that they brought to parties and like played. And, you know, it's like this record lived a life and now it's in your box and it's like, you're going to DJ it. Like, think it's, you ever go to England, come on,
yep,
you're going to play I Walked Away. And funny that you mentioned Dean Parrish before. Man, their voices are freaking similar. I think Bobby Parris is a white guy. And so is Dean Parrish. He's an Italian guy. I think his real name is like Anastasi or something. Oh, God, I love that song. Anyway, upgraded. I got a bit of a nicer copy, so I figured... Spread the Northern Soul love.
I don't care getting your scraps.
Hey, I think you've been doing pretty good for the past 10 years getting my scraps.
Well, you know what? I told you before you started recording that I wasn't going to feature three records. I'm reneging.
Yeah, hey, feature whatever you want.
Because I want to do a segue.
You don't have to say it every time.
With the sound quality of records. Now, you've played, you know, what looks like a, you know, not the best of shape
record. Honestly, if I was going to list that for sale, I'd call it G Plus. But G Plus plays great. That's like a go-to for me to describe.
And hats off to, you know, Canadian pressings for that. Oh, We've mentioned that all the time.
They're top-notch, man. Virgin, because we always used virgin vinyl up here, whereas a lot of times in the States, you're pressing on styrene, which is just a lower class of product to begin with. And often what they would do with records that didn't sell, they would melt that vinyl back down again and use it again. Mm. And the quality was never as good as virgin vinyl. So that never happened in Canada. So our pressings a lot of time are superior.
I was just mentioning off-air that... recently a copy of another Northern Soul bomb classic, The Metro Since I Found My Baby, was just auctioned by John Menchip. The gold standard for Northern Soul records.
My customer, John Manship. We've been doing some business together, John. A super nice guy. It's funny because like he'll actually call me and we'll like talk on the phone, and I'm just like, what am I doing talking to this guy in England? Sending him he's a mensch. He's a super nice guy, John Manship.
Well, cool. Well, he was auctioning off
a Canadian
pressing of the Metros, you have a Canadian pressing. I have the American pressing.
I remember when you got it. Our first trip to Detroit 11 years ago at Brad's. Yeah.
So at least, you know, I got it in Detroit, which is kind of cool.
Hey, I mean, that's where they were from, man.
But I'd be curious to play back to back the American pressing versus the Canadian one.
You know what I want? Something like an RCA record, I feel they'd probably sound the same. Yeah. But interestingly enough, I have had spare copies of the Canadian pressing before, and I remember I offered it to you.
Yeah, once, I know.
But you said, "Oh, okay, yeah." Yeah, you're not like me. I'm a psychotic person. It's like I bumped into Eduardo the other day, the guy who owns Sonorama here in Montreal on Bernard Street, and the first thing he said to me is like, "Oh, I found a Canadian pressing of it. It's like a $20 Soul 45 Marie Knight, came out on Diamond in the States." But he's like, "I found one on Apex," and I literally like went right to the store to get it from him because he's like everybody knows how much I love my Canadian pressings of records.
So here's the point I was going to make. So I went record digging in the wild.
Who? What do you mean?
And
trying to step on my toes.
And so so I bought a bunch of records. Many of them were reggae records. So I'm going to hand the little pile to you.
Sure.
There's a bunch of stuff. There's like British stuff, and in that pile, and I bought it off of the title. And when I went to put it in my collection,
you had it.
No, it was on my want list.
Oh wow!
But this is a Jamaican pressing.
Interesting.
And you'll see.
Interesting that you found some Jamaican records here in town. They don't really turn up in Montreal that often.
True, yeah. But he's from Toronto, so.
Oh, okay.
so Yeah, so here's the pile.
Sure, let's check it out.
So the first one, the picture Steve you're seeing, is a type of record we featured on this show before. It's that...
Is it a woman moaning?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've heard this before.
Erotic type of, you know, slow
it's like I'm
ballad type of thing.
I'm like trying to look at the Studio 145 and the label is so worn. I'm just a guy. Oh, it's Alton Ellis, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smooth rock steady in the Desmond Dekker vibe. So this is
You're reading my little description.
Oh, it's a cover. Let's Get It On by
It just says
Let's Get It On. That's the harp tones. Lieutenant Pigeon.
Yeah, I think that's British psych. Is it? What did I write?
It says psych instrumental with piano, but it's funny. Lieutenant Pigeon, every record I've ever put on by him sucks.
It's okay.
Okay. Then we got The Locomotive, Rudy's in Love, Blue-Eyed Rocksteady from Birmingham, I guess England.
Alabama. That's kind of weird because
I've had a record by them on MGM, like a U.S. record. It might even be this one. Might be a U.S. pressing.
So it's Blue-Eyed Ska.
Sure.
Kind
of
weird.
Oh my God, speaking of Blue-Eyed Ska, that just reminded me, our buddy Carl posted... about how much he hated this, what's his name?
Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd.
Well, didn't we play Judge Dredd on this very show?
We
were having a debate. No, recently we were having a debate about, you know, records, if we'd play them in the club because of the explicit lyrics.
Okay, yeah, we talked about that, but I don't think...
Or maybe Prince Buster.
But I had never really heard of this guy. And, well, what's funny is because didn't we play... Yeah, because we played Big Five by Prince Buster.
It's Prince Buster.
And Judge Dredd has a song called Big Six.
Right.
And I was listening to it, like, the original version, and I was just like, oh, like, if I just heard this, I wouldn't know this was a white guy. I would just assume it's a Jamaican record. No, but... I then went and looked up a video of him performing it from like 1980 with like backup dancers, and it is the weirdest. It's so weird and off-putting that I kind of really like it. He's a weird dude.
And it's raunchy.
Yeah, and it's funny because Carl posted how much he's like, oh, if I'm at a night and I hear Judge Dredd, I'm like, fuck it, I'm walking out. Sorry, Carl, if you're listening to this, I'm just sharing your Facebook thoughts on the podcast. No, we love Carl, of course.
We had this very conversation a few episodes back.
I kind of dug it. Anyhow, next one you got here, I like this label, High School. Buttercup by Winston Scotland. Roots reggae, man. You wrote that. Cool. So that's a nice little stack. But you found these here in Montreal. Good for you.
Yeah. So, shout out to Gavin.
Yeah, I had a feeling. he was in a selling mood.
No, he had a booth at a flea market, and he had a few records there. So
you're kidding.
This is what I bought.
Yeah.
And Gavin's so got good this taste. Is the one we're going to play. And so it came out in the States on Playback Records, but this is a Jamaican pressing.
Waiting and Drinking by Calvin Bose.
Yeah, it's Jewel King on the B side. So different
it's got to be Jewel King. I see written by Dave Bartholomew. So this must be Dave Bartholomew's the New Orleans guy. So this must
you've seen this this label before.
It looks super familiar. It's weird that it's a Jamaican pressing.
It's from weird.
58
from 58.
Wow.
So you'll see it's early R&B. Warning, tough sound. So.
Hey, you know what? We've played enough Mint records today. All right, so, interesting. Let's hear this. What's it called again? Drinking and Boozing?
Or Drinking and Waiting.
Drinking and Waiting. Hey, I've done that many times, and then someone shows up, and I'm drunk as fuck.
And you know it's going to go directly in my alcohol suite.
Oh, yeah.
One more bottle of beer. Baby, 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 why don't you come on here?
Now you promised to meet me 12:45. We're supposed to go out, have a little fun. I waited till 2, I felt so bad. Now look here, woman, don't do me too bad, 'cause waiter, waiter, bring another bottle of beer. Hey, baby, 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 why don't you come on here? Now I kept on drinking, almost 8. My love is dragging, trying to get straight. When you didn't show, 9:30, I went out and got me a great big jug of wine. Now guess I better drink me one more bottle of beer. Hey, baby, 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 why don't you come on here? Why don't you come on, baby? You know I'm waiting for you. Hurry up, mama. Come on. Baby, I'm getting tired of waiting on you. Why don't you come on? Took a drink of gin, double shot of whiskey too. Yes, when the clock struck 10, I took a drink of gin, double shot of whiskey too. Then I screamed and romped, yelled and stomped, says I don't care what you do. Better don't hit, man. Here I am.
It's funny. So you said it sounds older than 58.
It does.
What I love about it, it's very it's almost reminiscent of late 40s, you know, it's such an old, I love that sound, but you know what? It's in experienced DJing, it's people love that.
Yeah.
You put it's because it's.
It'll appeal to the rockabilly crowd, to the mod crowd.
But it'll appeal to anybody, you know, it's just and it's interesting too. It's I can totally see why that was pressed in Jamaica. Cause you can hear how Jamaican guys would love that sound.
Well, they love to sit and drink.
Yeah, well, that's true too. oh my god! Yeah, that was fantastic. What a great little find.
Yep. Yeah. Very well. You know, bonus for me being on my want list, and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I see you got another little stack there. What you got?
Well, I got a package in the mail from my buddy Gabe.
Shout out to Gabe.
And. You'll just by the titles, you'll get why
he sent them to you.
Exactly. Yeah. So
Gabe's a good egg. Shout out to Gabe.
Gabe, I owe you records. I have them. I need to clean them.
I'll hold him to that.
And I need to send them to you.
Just send him French stuff from the giant box of French stuff.
I need to find the nice copies.
Yeah, you got to find the better ones.
And I'm probably gonna have Jamaican record or two in there.
Well, sure. So what'd you get?
So this is it.
All right. Soulful Stew by Rupi Edwards. Hey, more reggae.
Yep. So, you know, just the titles.
Yep. Monkey Business by Joel Hill.
Never a monkey record I didn't own.
I don't even know about that one. Followed by Tarzan's Monkey by the Apes. Never heard of that one either. Looks cool.
That's sort of more of a...
Instrumental.
It's a novelty-ish record.
The Bug by Jerry Dalman and the Nightcaps on Punch.
Yeah, that's more of rockabilly.
Hand clapping. Huh. Well, those all sound like they would fit into your various repertoires. Yeah.
Do our addicts know us or what?
Do they ever? Yeah, well, that's a nice little clutch of records.
So before we sign off.
Well, I was going to sell you one more.
Oh, okay. Go.
Yeah, go. Yeah, I'm going to sell you one more. Then we can end off. But you know what? This actually worked out because this kind of falls similarly into it was Jump Blues before. This is more in the bluesy, rockingy vein.
I see the label.
This is on the Vivid label out of Chicago. This is Betty Jean by Harold Barrage. of course, I feel like a broken record when I say this.
Don't mention broken records on this show.
Don't mention broken records.
Especially
yeah.
after the first one you played.
If I ever saw that record broken, I'd jump off the Champlain Bridge. I feel like a broken record. Ha! When I say, I got the Canadian pressing. So I'll sell you my American one. This is just good down home, like, you know, Chicago bluesy rock. Like, again, talk about could appeal to a rockabilly crowd. It's just good old Chicago bluesy rock and roll, man, and it's the best. And tell me what you think.
Another screamer.
You know, it's a very, you know, Little Richard-y, but just such a good tune.
So, Ben, we're breaking the rules.
What, you're going to make me listen to more records?
I am.
Oh no, poor me.
So, this is perfect because I'm going to plug something at the same time.
Well, really quick, did you even like that?
Well, yeah.
You're too excited. Yeah.
So, I'm going to plug something at the same time. So, this... You know, that sitting and drinking, this
sitting
one.
Sitting and drinking Betty, sitting and drinking with Betty Jean.
Is going to go perfect because on a Sunday, June 5th, if I'm correct, I'm going to be DJing a car show at the Kanawake Brewery.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. You should come to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
right across the bridge.
The afternoon? Like just the...
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah.
Outside.
You're going to need stuff like that.
Exactly.
Car and show stuff.
This is why we're going to break the rules and I'm going to end you another record because it's exactly in that vein.
Cool.
Very obscure. Another sort of unknown record. It's rock and roll.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hand it to you, you know, very obscure label, Midnight.
Midnight Records from Greenville, South Carolina. Since I Found You by The Barons, recorded at Mark V Studio, a Shamrock production. Cool.
So I'm probably going to DJ this back-to-back
with Betty Jean.
With Betty Jean. Let me know if
all right.
I had the ear or not.
Let's take a trip from Chicago to South Carolina. Man, we're really getting around today. All right, let's check this out. Right at the end, he starts hitting that ride, you know. Just,
wow. So is that car show material?
All I kept thinking is like, man, it's like 6 years ago and I was doing Mess Around. Like, this was like, oh man,
this would have been the staple.
I would have freaked out. It's phenomenal, but oh yeah, man, it's and you know, you have a decent ear because that was in the same key as the Harold Barrage record, the key of G. So,
I don't claim to have perfect pitch, but hey, I think I have the ear.
I think you do for someone who can. You know, put his hands on a bass and maybe make it make a little bit of noise.
Yeah, you give me too much credit.
Yeah,
there.
Well, hey, that bass has come in handy. I've used it on like 6 different projects since you bought it. So at least it's been featured on various recordings. Yeah, and I was thinking, for you know, you're doing a car show. It's like, do you have like little GTO
and, oh, of
like,
course,
and like, hey,
of
hey course. Little, hey, little Cobra, oh,
absolutely,
Mustang Sally.
Yep,
those. And it's funny, I mentioned that Cartoons cassette before, and then you just got to, obviously you got to get a little Beach Boys in there. You
know? I got all that. It's. I just hope the weather is going to be.
I hope so too. Good. Yeah. Well, I mean, I love a good car. I love cars. So, I mean, that'll be fine. I'll definitely come check that out. Maybe I'll schlep Taryn and be like, hey, look, it's a 63 Corvette because it has a split window. Anyway.
So, you know, just like your project with the first Duke Edwards record we've talked about.
Like I said, I can't speak too much on it, but I'm hoping, anyway, there might be some things down the pike with that. Yeah.
So here's another segue. No. My good friend, he's the owner of the Kanawake Brewery.
Cool.
And he asked me, "Oh, what's your rates right now, Pat?" And I go, "Listen, I'll do it for free, but I want to pair up on a special project with you."
Oh, I see where this is going.
I'm not going to say it's been confirmed.
Really? Oh, I already know what I. Yeah, cool.
and we're going to talk about it on this podcast.
Okay, good. Oh, God, it's good. It's good that you and I have. So it's gonna got be stuff in the going future. On. We have both you and I have things coming up the road that might be interesting.
So now it's on June 5th. Sunday, June 5th, Sunday, I believe. Sunday,
June 5th. All right, that's in about a month. Hey, it's May today. Man, where did all this time go?
So, if you're around Montreal and you want to check out a cool car show and great beer, Kanawake Brewery. And now, if the weather is not car show friendly, it's going to be the following weekend. Except the following weekend, I won't be in Montreal. I am going to cross the border for the first time in 2 years.
Oh my God. Let's play roulette of where you're going. I'm going to just start naming places.
The most obvious. Boston. Maybe. No. I'm going to NYC. The nice. Big Apple.
What are you doing down there?
I'm going to do Soulfinger.
Oh, nice. With Al.
With Al.
Oh, that's fun.
AKA Sweet Daddy Soul.
So that's the weekend after? That's June?
So June 11th. Saturday, June 11th.
Oh, man. Maybe I'll show up at that, too. I've been really craving a sandwich from Katz's Deli.
Well, if you say that, we'll split the gas and we'll take the Prius. Well,
it's funny. I'm actually going. Hey, funny. You know what? I drove my girlfriend's Prius 2 weeks ago when we went down to the States. And man, great car. You know what? It has like this cruise control feature where like it stays in the lane. Like if you take your hand off the steering wheel, it drives itself. Oh,
I think she has a newer model.
Brand new. Well, yeah. It's like a year old. But yeah, I don't know, man. I haven't been in New York in a while.
So think about it.
Yeah, think about it. Yeah.
You know, we can split expenses.
I'm going to be in Syracuse, New York, the weekend after that to go see Paul McCartney for the 11th time.
Of course.
I kind of like the Beatles. I don't really mention that.
Well, look at my T-shirt.
Yeah, I see you're wearing an Abbey Road shirt. Yeah, we're Beatle people.
So I'm going to be at Otto's Shrunken Head. I think that's neighborhoods.
The New York guys posting about it. Where is it? Is it?
I think it's in the East Village.
Oh, cool.
So it's
that's the coolest place to be, man.
538 East 14th Street.
Yep, that is it? In the East. That's the East.
Okay,
Village,
well, I'm sure not that thing. Bad.
Right near that's First Avenue, Avenue A, Avenue B. They call it Alphabet Village. And 14th Street is one of the few streets in that area that is two ways and not a one way street. I know New York City pretty fucking well. I'm impressed. I know New York City. I used to go all the time. I got cousins down there. Shout out to my Long Island family.
But I bet you haven't been to Otto's Shrunken Head.
I don't think I have, but you know what? Last time I was ever in Manhattan, I DJ'd with our buddy Drew Redmond.
I'm sure I'm gonna cross paths with Drew.
And funny enough, the place that I DJ'd at with him was also on 14th Street, right around there. It was a hair salon during the day, and it's a bar at night. I can't remember what it was called, but I have DJ'd on 14th Street in New York City before, so we have we have that in common.
Big boy,
big boy, going down America. Anyhow, well, these two crazy Canucks, I think it's time to wrap things up.
Well, and the following day after DJing Soulfinger, yeah. I'll be on Curtis Powers' show.
Oh, cool! So, he's out in Brooklyn, right?
In Brooklyn,
yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And Al told me there's good, you know, hot dog spots in Brooklyn. So.
Oh, man. I haven't had lunch yet. Al, you listening? I'm going to get some hot dogs after this. You know, it was silly. Yesterday, I was down in Plattsburgh. Plattsburgh is known. So it's always that weird thing where we call them Michigans, yeah. And then in Detroit they call them Coney Islands. In Plattsburgh,
hot dogs with meat sauce.
In Plattsburgh, they're called Red Hots, and that's like a thing. And didn't end up going because I was too full from IHOP. A shock to nobody. I'm a very, very predictable man. But anyhow, so that'll be fun. Anyway, I'll come to that car show. I haven't been to a car show in ages.
You want to partner for New York?
And... Yeah, man, it's been a while. Maybe.
Think about it.
I should be saving up for a wedding, but literally all I do is run around and spend money on records anyway. So who's anyone kidding? Anyhow, thank you for listening, everybody, for episode 8. Is this our 80th episode? Are we past 8?
No, we're 82, 83.
I lost count a long time ago. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm on Instagram as Shulman the Soul Man. Yeah, follow me. Records. Oh, yeah, buy records for me. The company sleeve on Discogs. The records are great. Spend money. I've got a mortgage to pay.
So we're finish off with the A side.
Hey, from you don't want to plug yourself, Park Avenue?
Because we're going to talk about where we're going to play. Oh yeah, Park Avenue everywhere.
Yeah, you're Park Avenue everywhere. Yeah. So you usually have the sign off track, and you know what's funny? We're both DJs forever, and we really mostly focus on very danceable music on this show. But I figured, again, I've given so much attention to this phenomenal Duke Edwards record today, that this is technically the A side. Let him dry his own tears.
According to the Matrix.
According to the Matrix number and according to the picture sleeve that I have, the only copy in the world. Haha. So let him dry his own tears. So that's the thing, is we don't really play a lot of ballady stuff or kind of slower stuff, but before, and I was saying I got a feeling the up-tempo side is the best record I ever heard. The reason why this is the best record I ever heard, because this is this side. I love slow soul music too. I love group soul, the harmonies, and this is one of the most beautiful. It's just so fucking good.
This
could just
played at a Chicano car show.
Yeah, or it could just in LA. It's just like I because you could see why Ben Everest of Rondack Records believed in this Duke Edwards guy, because man, this is, it stands out. Anyway, let's end off with it. You're hearing it for the literally first time anywhere ever. Let Him Dry His Own Tears by Duke Edwards. Thank you for listening. We love all of you. Go subscribe to our stuff and rate us on Apple and all the things you tell me to tell people all the time. And anyway, let him dry his own tears.
And keep on keeping on.
When you see my heart broken in little pieces, and my world shattered all in two, be a friend and stick close by me. Tell the fellas just what to do. You can't play with. It's something to hold and to keep. So take a fool's advice and go on and love her, or you'll wind up crying like me.